This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this Jew, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, they have shirk. They swear by the Kaaba. So the Prophet said, don't swear by the Kaaba, but say, wa rabbi al-Kaaba, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. Then he said that they say, ma sha Allah wa ma shi'it, as Allah wanted and you wanted. When something goes in your favor. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected them. Because wow, in the Arabic language, gives reference to there being two matters of the same presence in the sentence. What's before the waw and what's after the waw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't use waw, use thumma. Ma sha Allah thumma ma shi'at. First it was the will of Allah and then what you desired. And then, not and, what you desired and then what you desired. Right? It drops you a level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you wanted something and Allah didn't, it would have never happened. But when you say what Allah wanted and what you wanted, it gives the impression that it happened because you wanted it, even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not will it. So this is wrong. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? Right? Does it make sense? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say what Allah willed and then what we desired. But what we desire means nothing if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will it. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. As we heard in the salah, Allah is the irresistible. Allah is in control of everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn from these lessons to be just. This is very important. Brothers and sisters, we need to benchmark ourselves against this lesson. How just are we in our lives? How just are we? Firstly, we have an issue when we speak. We generalize. This is not from being just. We generalize. You know, these people, they're like this. No, not everyone is like that. Not everyone is like that. Social media, everybody's venting. This nation? No, it's not this nation. It's a group, it's a select few. Be just in what you say. Be just in what you say. Secondly, we see in society people who might be jealous of somebody, or somebody who might have made a mistake and now you've taken an issue with this person. Somebody else comes and praises them, mentions some good which they have done, and in fact it is good, but you come out negative. You try and bring that good down. Why? Because of this prejudice that you have against this person, or this jealousy. It could be prejudice, or it could be an issue because they made a mistake in the past. So you don't want to see anybody say any good about them. You might not know it, but you have a tendency of always putting them down. Somebody praises them and you come up with, nah, it's not like that. It's nothing special. That's not special. You know, somebody else, they did it like this. You know what he did? I could have done it with my eyes closed. Right? This is wrong. This is wrong. If this person has made a mistake, he's made a mistake, and now he's done something good, acknowledge the good. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a lot about idolatry and the evils of disbelief in the hereafter and the reality of the Quraysh. But here we see him praising the Quraysh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was a point worth praising. He praised it. This is from being just, my dear brothers and sisters. So benchmark yourselves against this. Where do we lie with these two scenarios that I've set? When people praise others and we have an issue with them, how do we respond? Ask yourself. And if it's not right, you have a problem. You have an oppressive nature. You got to fix it. Oppression is not just dropping bombs on innocent people. It's of many types. Right? Right? And charity begins at home. If you want to fix oppression in the world, fix the oppression within yourself first. And become a just person first. Right? So this is what we learn. And brothers and sisters, in terms of just speech and unjust speech, then today, subhanAllah, we see a sickness. Inshallah, it's amidst a small group of people, but it's where they criticize the du'at, and where they criticize the scholars, and where they criticize the ulama, and they criticize the imams. The imam made a mistake, he's not infallible. He's a human being. What happens? We start running around the community. You need to stop going to this masjid. You need to stop going to this dars. You need to stop listening to this person. This person has this mistake and that mistake. And so on and so forth. You know those people? You know the Warner Brothers? Everyone knows the Warner Brothers, huh? Not that Warner Brothers that you're thinking about. Right? We need to be careful, brothers and sisters. Yeah, you guys cut caught on late. You guys are slow. I don't know what's going on. You didn't have iftar? Or it's just a Melbourne thing? PTY, LTD, huh? I'm sure our brother there knows the Warner Brothers. Right? We start warning, running around society, being unjust in our speech. The person has 99% good. 1% is a mistake. And we're running around making as if this person is 100% bad. Subhanallah. And then we try and justify it. And we say, you see, the scholars of hadith, they had this thing called jarh wa ta'deel. Allahu Akbar. Now you've become a big scholar now, mashaAllah. Right? Jarh wa ta'deel. They say this is from the science of hadith, where we endorse people, and with regards to others, we mention their faults. So people know where to take their knowledge from and where not to. Ya hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Jarh wa ta'deel. This is a science. Stop belittling the science. This was a science and it worked because of necessity to look after the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even the way it was done in a scholarly way, in an academic way, with the adab, the manners, the morals, the etiquettes. Don't take something so noble and so precious and apply it to your oppression. This is also oppression. What is justice? Justice is putting the right thing in the right place. Oppression is taking something and putting it in the wrong place. Right? So when you take something so noble and apply it to your misguidance and mistake, then this is taking something and putting it in the wrong place. This is another oppression. We need to look after our tongues, brothers and sisters, and we need to look after our hearts. We need to be just. I'm not saying that if somebody has an established mistake and a scholar says, look, so and so, he's a good speaker, but he has one or two issues, these issues be wary of, right? You've heard it from a scholar, you came to a community, and you're educating this community. That's fine. But what did I say? You're educating them. You're not causing fitna. There's a difference between educating that so-and-so has a mistake, right? This is his mistake. You come with the proper etiquettes. But you know what? In 99% of his message is good. Benefit from him. This issue here, perhaps, don't listen to it, but take it from another teacher. He has slight weakness in it. That's fine. But when you go about unjustly criticizing the person, making them public enemy number one, you got to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we shouldn't highlight a mistake if there is most definitely a mistake. But understand, be fair when you do it and look after the manners, the morals and etiquettes. This was from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another scenario can be shared with you all, brothers and sisters, here. And that is, sometimes we have a person who is misguided, like the Quraysh, and then something good comes from them, and we shoot it down. Why? Because of its origin. Because of its origin. Hilf al-Fudul teaches us that this is wrong. Hilf al-Fudul teaches us that this is wrong. If the person said something that was beneficial, and the Sharia supports it, it doesn't contradict the Sharia, and this is the most evil person around, we don't shoot what he said down because he is the most evil person around. We separate between what he said and him as a human being. This is from being just as well. So take heed, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. This is the month of taqwa, by the way, my dear brothers and sisters. And from the means of acquiring taqwa is by looking after your tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O you who believe, O you who believe, be God conscious of Allah. Be people of taqwa. How can you be a person of taqwa? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And say a word which is upright and has no crookedness in it. Call a spade And in Africa, as we say, not a big spoon. Call a spade and not a big spoon. There should be no crookedness in your speech. Be straight. Be straight. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. This is from the means of acquiring taqwa. May Allah make us the people of taqwa. Ameen. We also learn, brothers and sisters, from this great event during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the importance of being the first helpers of every proactive effort, even if the initiator of the effort is a non-Muslim. Even if, pay attention to this, especially we live in Muslim, we are a Muslim minority, right? We are under the patronage of a country that looks after us as Muslims as well. They've allowed us, mashallah, to have this musalla, to pray salah and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have talks like these. Not so? Has Australia not allowed that? Right? And that's why as Muslims we should be the first people to thank. Not take it for granted. Yes, it's the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can do it, and it's Allah who inspires. But we should also thank. You know how we get together and write petitions to combat oppression? We should also get together 100,000, 200,000 thank you letters and send it to the government. Thank them for allowing us safe passage into the country, allowing us security in our stay, allowing us job opportunity, right? Allowing us to pray Jumu'ah. Subhanallah, look, mashallah, how full the masjid is on Jumu'ah. The first Jumu'ah I had was last week. The crowds were going out of the venue, right? People come and pray. Alhamdulillah. We can have talks such as these, right? You should thank. You should get 200,000 letters together and thank. Show the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The problem is, good people don't want to show the good. And people who've gone astray, may Allah guide us all, they do what they do, misrepresent Islam. And what happens? People don't know any good to refer this bad or to benchmark this bad against. We haven't given them anything. We haven't shown them anything about Islam. Right? So we learn from Hilf al-Fudul that when something good happens, even if a non-Muslim initiates it, go forward and support it. With your time, with your wealth, with your energies, go and support it. How do we learn this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, after he became a prophet, if this had to happen again, I would go. I would support it. Allahu Akbar. Initiative of the non-Muslim idolaters. He says, I will support it. Because this is good. This is good. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. Ibn al-Qayyim. I want to back up my statement in case somebody says, who is this person speaking? We're hearing something strange. Unfortunately, to some of us, it's strange. Not many of us think like this. Right? Ibn al-Qayyim says, rahimahullah. This is a rough translation for you. That we should help and support the work which the Sharia is a supporter of, even if it is done by idolaters, even if it is done by people of bid'ah, even if it is done by sinners, and even if it is done by people who are known to be oppressors. If they do some form of work that the Sharia supports and considers to be sacred, you should be there to support it. Not supporting their sin, not supporting their disbelief, not supporting their idolatry, not supporting their oppression, but supporting the good work that they're doing. That is being just, where you separate between them and that which has been done. And if you need convincing, see the book Zad al-Ma'ad, volume 3, page 303. I just came to know recently that there's a pretty full translation of Zad al-Ma'ad, and it's sold in a bookshop in Sydney, right? Four volumes, been translated. They've just left out the poetry and slightly abridged, right? Read it. Learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially now, my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, we live in an age of confusion. We live in an age of confusion. I don't want to get into details, it's beyond the scope of this classroom to talk about what's happening right now in the Middle East and so on and so forth. It's beyond the scope of this classroom. But this is the time when we need to learn. Learn the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. learn what he taught us with regards to fitna. With regards to fitna, and what is fitna? What is fitna? When you can't differentiate between right and wrong and what you should do. The books of hadith have dedicated chapters, dedicated towards fitan, trial and tribulation, and the Muslim's position from this trial and tribulation, what is expected of them. This is not a time to be opening our mouths, yapping away, speaking from emotion, claiming things to be right and wrong based on emotion and no evidence. This is not the time for that, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the time when we keep silent and let the scholars guide us. This is the time to do so, brothers and sisters. It's beyond the scope of the classroom, but I don't want to go in. But since we have a slight correlation to what's saying, it mandates that a little bit is said. Right? It mandates that a little bit is said. This is the time to learn, what does Allah want of me in this time? I am a Muslim submitted to the will of Allah, not to my emotion, not to my ego, not to society, not to peer pressure. I am a servant of Allah. Islam, yes, we say peace, it means peace, but it also means istislam, to submit to the will of Allah in the second that you are in. What does Allah expect of me in this second? And some of us, subhanAllah, start commenting on matters, worldly matters, as if Allah made us representatives of these matters and placed the obligation of speaking about them on our shoulders. Allahu Akbar. You know what a mighty weight it is to speak about these matters, and how answerable you will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you said a word without knowledge? So why speak? If you know the repercussion of your speech, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day must say a good word or remain silent. Take heed, my dear brothers and sisters. This is of utmost importance. Now, when we learn how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to stand up for those proactive efforts, those efforts which the Sharia considers sacred, even if a non-Muslim does it, what about when a Muslim does it? What about, my dear brothers and sisters, when a Muslim organization is doing that which the Sharia considers to be sacred? What should be your position and my position from this? How many times do we see today the organization has to come and beg, brothers, sisters, help us. Brothers, sisters, help us. Then we pledge, we say, okay. And then we don't follow through with the pledge. They call you up a few months later, brother, you pledged this pledge. No, I've changed my mind, you know, things are tough. And so on and so forth. Shouldn't we be celebrating the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and going forward and asking them, what help do you need, before they ask for help? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? How many times fundraisers have to happen? How many times and how many times and how many times? How many times do you have to see after a Jumu'ah program, after this program, after that program, brothers, come forward, assist. Brothers, come forward, assist. Brothers, come forward, assist. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in your messenger, the messenger of Allah, the perfect example, the perfect pattern, the perfect role model. This is who he was, brothers and sisters. You know, brothers and sisters, life wasn't meant to be so discomfortable. It wasn't meant to be this comfortable. This isn't, you know, you get what I'm saying. It's not all, it wasn't meant to be just about you and your wife and your kids and the school fees is paid and the bills are paid and I have a job, my car, I have a nice car, comfortable car, I go to work, I come home, I'm relaxed, everything is hunky-dory. Right? I'm saying hunky-dory because there's a fish shop here in Melbourne, it's well known, right? Everything is well. I'm comfortable. Life's comfortable. My neighbor is suffering, doesn't bother me. In fact, I won't even try and look. As long as this fear of influence of mine is okay, it's not my problem. The no-care attitude. The no-care attitude. Now, I went to the UK once, and I heard a statement. I can't be asked. Whether it's proper English or not, it's something else. But I understood what the person was saying. You know, when somebody's saying, can you do this? I can't be asked. It's not my problem. I'm saying it a bit better, where I pronounce the T. But you know, there the T's get You know, I can't be asked, you know. right? This is not the speech of a Muslim. This is not the speech of a, I can't be asked. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Do you think Jannah is cheap? Did you not hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ala inna sil'at Allahi ghaliya? The merchandise of Allah is expensive. Did you not hear that? The merchandise of Allah is expensive. It requires you to come in the cold, in the dark of the night to the masjid and observe the salah and the Quran. It requires you to put cold water on your hands, even though you dislike it. It requires you to give your wealth, even though you attach to it. It requires. The merchandise of Allah is not cheap. I can't be asked. Are you guaranteed Jannah that you can't be asked? May Allah forgive us, wallahi. We are selfish, brothers and sisters. We are selfish. You know the Quraysh? Idolaters. But what did they show? Selflessness, not selfishness. They made somebody else's problem their problem. And what did they do? An entire pact, an entire constitution came about because one person was oppressed. La ilaha illallah. What about you and I today? How many oppressions do we allow to happen? How many will we allow to happen before we stand up and say, in the 21st century, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We need to stand up against this. This is oppression. With the Islamic etiquettes, morals, manners, of course. But we got to stand up. This is my problem. If I'm sleeping comfortably at night and these problems exist, there's something wrong with me. Cry to Allah. Turn to Allah. Is this the way your parents brought you up? I hate to think so. If this is your case, then you've also done an injustice to the honor of the upbringing that your parents gave you. Because by Allah, I don't think any parent will bring up their child to be selfless, to be selfish rather. They bring them up to be selfless. They teach them values. This was the way of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. We love for our brother. La yu'minu ahadukum. None of you truly believe. None of you truly believe. Until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an amazing teacher he was. And how deflated are we? May Allah forgive us, wallahi. We haven't given our messenger his haqq. We haven't, wallahi. Even when we say his name, how many say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Even in saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a right from his rights, Allah has made it compulsory upon us to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the term Muhammad is said. How many of us practice this right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Remember the other day I said, brothers and sisters, you know what our problem is? We have data. We don't have knowledge. We have data, raw information. It's not knowledge. We say Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You know where it is? On the tongue. It hasn't crossed the collarbones. It hasn't gone into the heart. Our actions do not show Muhammadur Rasulullah. Our speech does not show Muhammadur Rasulullah. We are not walking the talk, brothers and sisters. What does Muhammadur Rasulullah mean? What does it mean? It means I will be on this earth the way Allah wants me to be, as taught to me by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is your homework today, my dear brothers and sisters. Go home and ask yourself, get a big sheet of paper and ask yourself, am I in this world as per the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and thus be true to the first part of the shahada, la ilaha illallah, la ma'buda bihaqqin illallah, that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah. Because wallahi, for you to do justice to la ilaha illallah, you need to give due diligence to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah wants us to be in this world as He wants us to be here. He wants us to worship Him as He wants to be worshipped. And by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped the way He wants to be worshipped. Don't think for 1 minute, my dear brothers and sisters, that your sujood is going to increase the majesty of Allah and your sin is going to decrease the majesty of Allah. Absolutely not. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest and Allah is greater than everything. Allah is perfect from ever and is perfect forever. Your sujood doesn't mean anything to Allah. He will always be great whether you worship Him or you don't. And He never needed you to worship Him for him to be Allah. He never needed you to seek forgiveness for him to be the merciful. He never needed to create you for him to be known as Al-Khaliq. He was the creator before he created. He was the most merciful before he showered mercy. He was the most forgiving before he forgave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perfect from ever and perfect forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. This is the lesson, my dear brothers and sisters. Inshallah, I hope to see you all tomorrow. And we'll take another lesson from the lessons that we find from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I told you, we're not storytelling. We want to extract and see what matters to us here in the 21st century. And I reiterate, what I have left out is far more than what I have shared. We only have 45 minutes to an hour, brothers and sisters. Only 45 minutes to an hour, right? And this is not the biography of any ordinary man. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. May Allah preserve us in His obedience and forgive our past, and gather us together to learn more from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and gather us underneath His arsh on the day of Qiyamah after we pass away, and gather us in Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the fun times we had during the nights of Ramadan in the year 2014, learning about him and his life and how he benefited us hundreds of years later. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.